This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Happy Friday night, March 7th. Daylight savings time approaches this weekend. We're getting there. Keith McPherson on The Fan, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Another 5 hour KM to AM. Dial 888-808-1019. Actually, don't, because I have a guest coming up in 14 minutes. Let me just take these calls and we'll get to it. I'm still trying to figure out what the last caller was talking about. About like watching the DL, he said the IL of other teams in baseball for the Yankees bullpen after Aaron Boone burns out the bullpen. The bullpen is actually like fine right now. But let me take these calls and I'll return to that thought. I'm like, did I miss something? Anyway, Danny and Yonkers on The Fan. Go for it, Danny.
What's up, Keith?
What's up, man?
Struggling as a Knicks fan, you know the story. I was wondering, man, I know you're a Nets fan, but that's why you're a good person to look at this objective. Do you think right now, after watching last night when Brunson goes down and the offense is running through Deuce McBride for some reason, that I know as a Knicks fan, I never liked the trade for Cat, but I'm regretting it right now because I would have felt a lot more confident with Julius Randle there and them running the offense through him because he did it for us for years. And DiVincenzo has the ice water in his veins to hit big shots. If we would have went into the season with the roster we thought we were going to have, I think we would be a legit contender. And Cat just makes us soft.
Yeah, there's going to potentially be some regret if they don't figure it out in the next 2 to 3 years of this window. I think I opened up the show on Wednesday saying last year is over. We can't think about what could have been with this Knicks team if they had Dante DiVincenzo, right? Like, Mikal Bridges is the real biggest problem here, but also Cat, too. And like you said, Deuce McBride, I said earlier, they just expect Deuce McBride to come in and be Jalen Brunson. Nobody can be Jalen Brunson. We're about to see something for real with the Knicks during this stretch, and it might be really alarming. They might not win a game on this road trip, and then everybody's going to start saying, oh, they're cooked, this and that. And, you know, Leon Rose has gotten a ton of praise, and he's kind of smart, right? Because he kind of lays back. He kind of stays in the shadows. He hasn't popped out to really, bask in the sun. And I think if this group with Brunson and Mikal Bridges, thanks for the call, Danny, and Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart and OG, if they don't get it done, it's going to be like, hey, that was a good little run as far as being contenders. But ultimately, what did you win? Nothing. You can't crown second-round champions. You can't call them the uncrowned champions. Like, Those dudes got dogged, and now they're damaged. 888-808-1019. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I am a Nets fan, but I'm not in the coalition of Knick haters, but I've been looking at this objectively the whole time. And I had a take that people killed online, but whatever. People kill takes online because they're not listening to the whole show. They'll see a quote card and be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This is the dumbest take I ever heard. Like, you didn't hear it. You read a couple sentences that weren't from a whole full show. You know, the Knicks struggled for so long drafting. They just haven't been able to draft and develop their own guys. They had guys here like RJ and like IQ, and they got to the second round, and it wasn't enough. So they ended up trading those guys. And what happens is if you keep building your team off of trade after trade after trade after trade, you don't have your picks, which I think they said, F them picks. We're not able to land guys in draft develop anyway. We got to win now. Our coach is, oh, we got to win now. And this is Jalen Brunson's team, and when do we got to win now? Whatever. And then even with free agency, you spend a certain amount of money. It's just like the game is set up to kind of box you in. Even with Isaiah Hartenstein, like, you end up not being able to give Hartenstein the amount of money, and I always trip up on how to word it with like the apron and why they weren't able, because of how they signed Hartenstein, to give him the amount of money that OKC gave him. You lose that guy, who is a big factor. Like, you know, when you talk about last year, don't forget what Ihart became. His toughness with DiVincenzo, with these guys that like just had a chip on their shoulder, and it was like they were, you know, them against the world, and they, you know, really captured the city last year. That's over. This team now, especially without Brunson, what is their identity? They're going to run through Karl Anthony Towns. It's a lot of pressure on him, dealing with what he had to deal with, the anniversary of his mother passing, losing a friend to breast cancer, holding it down for his girlfriend. Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know if he's going to be able to shoulder the weight with that knee. Mikal Bridges, I was saying last night, he's dookie juice out there, bro. Now that's where the Nets fan in me comes in, because I am hating on Mikal Bridges, because it's like, oh, the grass is not greener on the other side, huh, bro? You know, all that back and forth on social media with your Villanova Wildcat buddies, we could tell, right? You talking about, oh, yeah, you know, being in your own building in Brooklyn and feeling like you're on the road. Yeah, just know the history, bro. You're a basketball fan. The team used to be in New Jersey, and before that, they were at the Teaneck Armory. They were on Long Island. They were in the Prudential Center. They've moved around a bunch. The Knicks have never moved. That's what's going to happen in New York. The Knicks fans and the Lakers fans and the Warriors fans, like Steph Curry, the Nets broke their record. They had the most fans in attendance, something like 18-4 last night. Not because of the Brooklyn Nets, because Steph Curry was in the building and all those little kids yelling, yeah, Steph, MVP for three. Yeah, those kids got Christmas gifts and birthday presents from their parents, not to go see Steph in the Garden. That's too expensive. They sold out Barclays Center easily. 888-808-1019. I just say the number naturally, but I told you we have a guest coming up. Let me take these calls. They're not on the Knicks. They're not on Mikal Bridges. They're not on Karl Anthony Towns, but this is a sports talk show. I like to talk about anything, if you don't mind. Billy is in Merrick on the fan. We'll go back to talking about the Mets.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
You know, watching this Devils game, it's getting a little chippy here with the Jets. I'm just discouraged about the Devils, but that's another whole sport and league and team that we haven't talked about.
So I want to throw a little hypothetical out there about the Mets. And I know Soto hasn't played a real game or anything yet, but let's just pretend in the next 5 years the Mets win 2 to 3 World Series.
What?
Do you think they would ever go to that 5-year buyout and go after the new young guys? Is the Paul Skeens that will be available at that point, or the Jackson Merrills, and buy out that big contract?
Nah. So you're saying move on from Juan Soto?
If the Mets are lucky enough to win, just let's say two out of the next 5 years.
So if what you're imagining is Juan Soto hitting game-winning home runs, potentially being World Series MVP? No. they're not gonna get that crafty and try and move on from him. No. If anything, he becomes immortalized as a Met. You can't move on from him. They build the statue for him right next to Tom Seaver.
That's for sure. I was just thinking money-wise.
They have endless amounts of money. And if they go to the World Series and win multiple World Series, they'll be printing money. Thanks for the call, Billy. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, because sometimes we start thinking about the Mets winning multiple World Series and moving on from Juan Soto, who will be an instrumental part of doing so. No. Nick is in Yonkers on the Fan before we go to break. Nick, you got it.
Hey, what's going on? So I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. I think it's a good move for Aaron because, let me tell you something, there's nothing that sucks more than getting fired except for having to move. And for him, he can stay at his house in Jersey. He just got it redone, and then he can go to the Jets. Maybe it's not the best situation, but he gets to stay at his current place. And I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, and it's not like he's got that many suitors. It's not like every team in the NFL is beating down the door for him. The Raiders are off the board. The Rams are off the board. I think pretty soon the Minnesota Vikings are going to be off the board. Where is he going to go?
Maybe Seattle?
The 49ers?
Seattle's open now.
Nah, why would he go to Seattle? They're about to rebuild. They're about to suck. Like, go all the way out to Pacific Northwest to lose? Like you just talked about, he's got a house right here.
The only thing I'll say is everybody on the Jets organization that was fired now. So I would be worried for Dable and Shipp. Joe Schoen about that, about getting fired, but they're kind of desperate right now. So
we're talking about the Giants, right?
Everyone in the Jets organization got fired after he was done with them. So
yeah, they were getting fired anyway. Thanks for the call, Nick. That has nothing to do with it. What, like, if Aaron Rodgers wants to play another year to pad his historical stats and to stick it to the Jets and to throw the ball to Malik Nabers and who knows, like, just play another year in the NFL and not have to travel far and not have to go far. Like, it makes a lot of sense. He's made more money than most players in the NFL. It's a deal that the Giants can afford. It's got nothing to do with the Jets at this point. The Jets have moved on. And Shane and Dable are literally making decisions for their lives. They need a veteran quarterback in the room. What better veteran quarterback is out there right now than Aaron Rodgers? They tried to get Stafford. Stafford was never actually coming over here. It's Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers, the Giants. We'll talk about Geno Smith, that move where the Raiders get their veteran quarterback. Are they still going to potentially pursue one of these top 2-3 quarterbacks in the draft? How that implicates the Jets and the Giants that are quarterback needy, that also will have their veterans in the room and look for a rookie quarterback. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up next is Connor Hughes from SNY. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Mic check, 1-2-1-2. Warning, you're about to hear two football guys from Monmouth University talk football for the next 15 to 20 minutes on the Fan. Joining us right now, my guy Connor Hughes from SNY. He knows a lot. I know a little bit. Together, it should be a good combo. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
I'm watching some hockey in here. The Devils are down 4-1. I'm just like, I don't know. Later, we'll talk about the trade deadline, but let's get to the NFL. Let's get to the breaking news from 2 hours ago. Former Jet, former Giant, Geno Smith is now the quarterback of Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, and Chip Kelly's Las Vegas Raiders. One, what do you think about that move, the trade, giving up a fifth-round pick to get him? And two, what do you think it means for them drafting a quarterback and how that could affect the Jets and Giants looking for a rookie quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, so the Raiders, I think the Raiders making a move for Geno makes a lot of sense because obviously he and Pete Carroll have a relationship from their time in Seattle, but also Pete Carroll is not a young guy. I mean, I know he's chipper and you speak to him and you talk to him and you think the guy's in his 40s or 50s, but he's not. So there's not that many years left. It is a win-now situation for him. So I don't know if he was going to have the luxury of drafting a quarterback, trying to develop him. If it doesn't work, getting another quarterback. I mean, this is a chance for him to go out there and get somebody that he knows. Really didn't cost him all that much. I think it ended up being a third-round pick, actually, or something like that. So it wasn't too much. And they're going to have to find a way to pay him. Luckily for the Raiders, they've kind of had an influx of money recently, so they've got some cash to spend, which they've used on some of their coordinators like Chip Kelly and stuff like that. So it'll be helpful for them To be able to get a contract done now with Geno, because I don't think the Seahawks are willing to pay him the contract that he wanted. And now you've got a team like the Seahawks that are in the running for a quarterback. And from what I've heard and what a lot of people are talking about now is that that's probably a spot where Sam Darnold's going to end up in. So a little bit of ex-Jet for ex-Jet relationship working there.
Yeah, so with Sam Darnold, you know, I just was talking earlier about Sam Darnold being a locker room guy, Minnesota not being able to move on from him, but like, you know, in a quote unquote not strong quarterback draft class and also a weak you know, free agency here, Sam Darnold is at the top of the food chain. Sam Darnold also with like the quarterback carousel, right? You know, now Matthew Stafford goes back to the Rams, Geno Smith with the Raiders. From what we're hearing, Kirk Cousins would like to get out of Atlanta, but they don't have to let him go. They can keep him there. What do you think Sam Darnold's going to get paid? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, he hurt his chances of making the big money with those last two games. But I'm like, he could still possibly get that $40 million a year that Daniel Jones got.
Yeah, no, he definitely hurt himself those final couple weeks there. I mean, but he hurt himself in terms of he took himself from 50 to 55 a year contract and probably dropped him to $40 million a year, if that, maybe a little bit. He might actually want a shorter term deal just so he can re-up again. Basically really prove it again next year and then almost kind of like re-up with another renegotiation or something like that. Sort of, it's a different position, but sort of like what the Eagles did with Saquon Barkley, where they then rewarded him with a contract extension that put some more years on there. But he's still probably looking at $40 million a year. It's just he's not going to get the 50. He was looking at there for a portion where he was actually in MVP consideration for the Vikings before those final two, three games of the season. But he was actually someone, Keith, that I heard the Giants had been poking around, and the Giants were interested in Sam Darnold. I just don't think there was a lot of reciprocated interest from Darnold with some of the other options that he was going to look at, and the Seahawks are certainly one of them. I mean, he's from that area of the West Coast. Chance to go back there, chance to play with a couple of guys that he knows, a better situation with defense, offense, a little bit more of a stable organization, a situation where the coaching staff is going to return next year and probably the year after that. You don't know if that's going to be the case with the Giants. So now you kind of have the Giants out there looking for a quarterback, a veteran to pair with a rookie, and all signs right now, Keith, point to that quarterback being Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, let's talk Aaron Rodgers in a second. But, you know, as I look at Seattle, they're drafting 18th overall. Mm-hmm. They're shopping DK Metcalf. They release Tyler Lockett, and they make this trade. One would think that they're rebuilding, but maybe they're just reloading. I look at that division, though, and it's like the Rams aren't going anywhere. The Niners most likely, you know, re-sign Brock Purdy. And I mean, you know, the Cardinals, who knows? Nobody can predict the NFL. Maybe the Seahawks are actually going for it. They're not, you know, I just said earlier tonight, I'm like, maybe they're kicking the can down the road to, you know, next year and drafting one of these top quarterbacks coming in next year. But we can't do that. You know, the Giants fans always talk about drafting Arch Manning next year. And, you know, this regime might not get there. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about the real possibility of them signing Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's just pointing to him redoing his house in Jersey and that he was just here with the Jets is the main reason. He doesn't want to move, but I've also put out there that, like, he doesn't have that many suitors. He doesn't have that many options. Like, not for nothing, not everybody wants all that Aaron Rodgers brings. And I know we like to leave this out because we want to look at the numbers and the stats and say, look at how many yards and touchdowns he had. Like, he had moments of last year where we're like, this is not Aaron Rodgers anymore. He can't put together a drive to win it. He was turning the ball over, chucking and ducking. So what do you think about the Giants? Is that what they're trying to bring in the building?
I'll answer it two ways, Keith. But it makes no sense to me from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. From the Giants' perspective, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, I don't think there's a better veteran quarterback out there that they could get not named Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think Rodgers is a far superior player to Kirk Cousins. I think he's a far superior player to Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or anybody else you're going to find out there. Maybe not Sam Darnold, but Darnold's not really an option. So I think he would be a great person to bring in here to the Giants building, four-time MVP, former Super Bowl champion, somebody who's wildly respected. You pair him with a rookie, and it would almost remind me of when you had Kurt Warner. Although Kurt Warner maybe didn't have some of the off-field headlines that Rodgers does, but it was Kurt Warner with Eli Manning. And Kurt Warner started for a few weeks, and then eventually they gave way. The Giants started struggling. He gave way to Eli Manning, and the rest is history. I think it's a perfect situation for the Giants. It does. From a football standpoint, you bring him in here, I think he'll make Malik Nabers better. I think he'll make Theo Johnson better. I think he would make Wandale Robinson better. I think he'd make Jalen Hyatt better. I think he would help just with the wealth of knowledge that he has, bestowing whatever quarterback the Giants end up drafting, I think that would be perfect. What I can't wrap my head around, and it's, again, I talked to so many people across the NFL over the last few days, week or so, ever since I got back from the combine, and everything that everyone keeps telling me is that this is going to get done. Everyone is right now convinced that it would take a total curveball for Rodgers. I wouldn't say to not be the Giants quarterback, but right now the way that people are operating is like, okay, yeah, this is eventually going to get done. Like that's this. I'm not talking about the Giants building. I'm talking about people outside the Giants building are all like, okay, yeah, that's where Aaron Rodgers is going to end up with the Giants. Knowing Aaron from covering him the last 2 years with the Jets, knowing how he views himself, what he wants to accomplish towards the end of his career, I just can't wrap my head around why he goes to the Giants. Because no matter what the Giants do this offseason with Aaron Rodgers, what's their ceiling, Keith? Like 7 wins? Maybe 8? I mean, if he wins 8 games, that's spectacular. So does he really want to end the final year of his career getting his teeth kicked in with a team that has a worse offensive line than the Jets, worse skill makers than the Jets, a coach and general manager whose jobs are on the line, and playing a position where if he struggles for 4 or 5 weeks, there's going to be cries to go to a rookie, and in all likelihood, they would go to the rookie. Like I can't see how that makes sense. But everything everyone keeps telling me, and now granted, a large reason for this, because I don't think there's that many other options for Aaron. Like I don't the Rams were certainly one, but when they stuck with Stafford, that obviously took Aaron out of it. I don't get the sense that the Vikings are overly interested. The Seahawks seem like they want Sam Darnold, like maybe the Steelers, but now the Steelers are pretty committed to trying to get Justin Fields or Russell Wilson back. So it's almost like if Aaron wants to play, and this is what other people around the NFL have told me, again, unaffiliated with the Giants, have told me, is that if Aaron wants to play, basically his only opportunity right now is with the Giants. And that's why it's going to work. But still, like the common sense of it all is like, okay, yeah, I just don't get it from Aaron's side. I just don't get it. Unless he just literally just wants to play football, that he's like, who's ever going to give me an opportunity? I'm going to go out there and give my best. And if that's the Giants, I'll go play for the Giants.
Yeah, the odds are not in his favor for this to go well. They have the toughest strength of schedule, the longest Super Bowl odds. Like, they have a GM and head coach on the hot seat. The odds are not in his favor to come in here and go to the playoffs and succeed. And he's going to get beat up behind that offensive line.
I will say this. This is one thing I will say. And it's probably the only odds that are in the Giants' favor right now. The fact that the Jets chose to release him and then he goes cross town to the Giants, the Jets' luck is that he takes him to the playoffs in the Super Bowl and he wins the Super Bowl next year. Like, that's the Jets' luck. Forget the Giants and all of the things common sense. The Jets' luck is that Aaron Rodgers takes the Giants and wins the Super Bowl.
On the cheap, too,
like,
while the Jets are paying him all this money and the exactly. Giants don't pay him anything.
Yeah, that's the Jets' luck.
You know, the thought occurred to me. I'm like, there's not many other options. I don't think he goes to Pittsburgh. Yeah. I don't think that they're bringing in all that he is. But I'm like, where would he go? And when you look at all the teams, there's nowhere for him to go. There's two places I think he could potentially go, but I don't think he'll want to go to the Cleveland Browns, right? No. They need a quarterback. He's not going to go to Ohio. He's not going to play in the cold. He's not going to go out there like just to play football. If he's going to just play football, it's the Giants. But then I started thinking about the Colts. Because they said they're going to bring in a quarterback to compete with Anthony Richardson. I'm like, well, that's a dome team, and maybe they take a flyer on him. They had Joe Flacco, like maybe the Colts, but no, I think all signs point to him staying right here in New Jersey, and I think he's so much about himself that like his ego is going to tell him, all right, I'm going to go stick it to the Jets, and if I can win 6 games, I do better than I did last year with the Jets, and I just don't go out with the Jets let me go. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji fired me. I go across town and have a better season than the Jets potentially.
Yeah, because that's the thing is that I've had people say like, Aaron, well, he's going to go there and he's just going to think he's going to make the Giants a Super Bowl contender. I got to know Aaron pretty well, man, and he never struck me as that guy. He's a realist. I mean, he's very, very confident in his own ability. He's confident in what he can do as a quarterback and that he can still play. But I don't think he's one of those guys that's like, oh, we're immediately a contender as soon as I walk in. I mean, he's understanding of what a team needs to do, how they need to win games. I mean, he was like that with the Jets the last couple of years with what they still needed to add, what they were missing, things like that. So it could be that. Let's just go stick it to the Jets. Let's just go play some football, have some fun. But again, from the Giants standpoint, I get it. It's just from Aaron's, I don't, unless literally this is his only option, which it very well might be. Because like I said, Keith, I've talked to, I don't even know how many of the guys that I know across the NFL, coaches, assistants, executives, agents, every one of them has pretty much has themselves convinced that, yeah, Aaron's going to the Giants. Almost, it's just a matter of time. Now, we'll see if that ends up happening, as is in Giants sources, but there are people outside the Giants building that are privy to the situation. I'll feel like this is eventually going to get done.
Yeah, because it's just like that is his only spot to go where he's the starter. Even if they draft a rookie, he's starting week one.
Pittsburgh, I think there's, maybe Pittsburgh would be one too, because they don't have anyone else. But again, like,
I don't know if Tomlin and Rooney
well, here and Tomlin do like each other. There's a lot of mutual respect there between Tomlin and Rodgers. Like there is. It's just a matter of, does Aaron want to go to Pittsburgh? Does he want to play in Pittsburgh? I don't know. But again, the concept of playing the Philadelphia Eagles, Commanders, and the Cowboys and Micah Parsons twice a year for that division, I mean, that doesn't seem super appealing to me. I mean, again, it's if you do the pros and cons, like I don't know. The only pro for Aaron Rodgers to go play for the Giants is, okay, I'm playing football still. Like, that's literally the only pro. Like, there are a million cons to one pro.
The con is you're going to get sacked a bunch of times. You're going to be in pain. You're going to be hurt. You could be knocked out of the season. We'll go back to the Pittsburgh thing, but what I'll say the other option is, maybe he humbles himself and he sits on the couch. I mentioned Joe Flacco. Maybe he pulls the Joe Flacco from a couple years back and he waits for a team that loses QB1 to say, hey, we need a guy, and then here comes Aaron Rodgers to save the day.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I haven't talked to him within the last couple of weeks to know, like, just to say to him, like, hey, what's the reasoning for it? I'm looking forward to when he kind of comes out of, because he does this. Like, he sticks to himself. He keeps to himself. He needs to make his decision, talk to the people in his inner circle, and then he comes out and then he'll explain his decision. I'm very much looking forward to getting a chance to talk to him and understanding, if he chooses it, why did you choose the Giants? Like, well, like, because it's, again, he's not somebody, from getting to know him the last couple of years, he is not somebody that's just going to do something to do something. He is going to have every possible exit route understood, every possible danger and red flag understood, the pros, he's going to have it all. I mean, he's so calculated and meticulous with the way that he thinks. I mean, it's, again, from just talking to him, like, people have this perception of him. He's completely different than what people think. I mean, he really is a fascinating person to talk to, because you can understand, kind of see how his brain starts to work, and he really is an intelligent individual, where I'm very curious, when he does kind of come out of hiding a little bit and explain his thought process, to know what his thought process is if he does ultimately choose the Giants, because it's not going to be something as simple as like, yeah, I wanted to play, they were my only option, so I'm playing. I mean, he's going to see something in that organization to decide to play for them and not just retire.
Yeah, maybe they tell him they're going to draft Travis Hunter and he'll have Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers to throw the ball to, and he'll be like, all right, well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did hear from someone that, and I trust this pretty, I trust this wholeheartedly, that this, if the Giants do ultimately land Rodgers, and Rodgers does ultimately land with New York, the Giants, this will not be Jets 2.0. This will not be, okay, give me your list of the guys you want, and suddenly Alan Lazard and Davante Adams and Mercedes Lewis. Although Adams, again, I think he wants to go West Coast, but he is somebody that still can play. I'm talking about like his buddies, like when the Jets brought in
Randall Cobb
and Billy Turner and like all these guys that couldn't play anymore. It's not going to be one of those things where like, oh, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's going to be one of those where, okay, Aaron, we signed you. You're a quarterback. We're now going to fill out the rest of the roster. Like, that's how the Giants would approach this thing.
Yeah, and the Jets got to keep their ear to the street with Justin Fields, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, reuniting him with Garrett Wilson, and also a lot of talk about the Steelers choosing one of him or Russell Wilson. I would think they'd be more inclined to go back to Justin Fields, who they started off 4-0 with, but then obviously you give the respect to the veteran and Russell Wilson, who came in and changed their, you know, their passing game, but ultimately they ended up losing 5 in a row to end the year. I'd want to move on from Russ and see another year of development out of Justin Fields and Arthur Smith's offense. But I think there's some hesitation from Justin Fields, because he's like, hey, I want to be the starter. I don't want to come back here and you guys sign another veteran, or you draft a young guy. Like, I'm not trying to compete. I want to be the starter. I kind of joked about Kenny Pickett, who went to my high school at Ocean Township. Like, Kenny Pickett was frustrated with the Steelers because, you know, he got hurt and didn't get his job back right away. And then they signed Russell Wilson, and he's looking like, I'm the guy. You drafted me first round. I'm the starter. And they're like, you got to compete for it. We're not giving you anything. And, you know, I think there was some back and forth that went on there where they ended up just trading him away to Philly. Yeah. What do you think about the Steelers and their two quarterbacks that have a good market out here, and both could be in New York? Russell Wilson could potentially be with the Giants, if they don't go through with Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Fields could be with the Jets to, you know, pair him up with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, that's the talk right now. I mean, the Steelers are on a pretty tight ship in terms of leaks, so not too much gets out of there. But it seems like they either want both back or they want one or the other. And the fascinating thing about Russell is it kind of feels like his personality sort of ran its course towards the tail end there of that season with the Steelers, that by the end of the year, I don't know how beloved he maybe was within the locker room, and I don't know how much the coaching staff really valued him. I'm not sure how that all went towards the end. I mean, there were some rumblings and stuff that came out of there towards the tail end of the season that they were kind of just, you know, again, Russ is Russ. It's the same stuff that happened in Seattle. It's the same stuff that ended up happening in Denver, and you can go ask some of his former teammates that have been, you know, vocal about it in recent years about, you know, kind of the same stuff was happening at Pittsburgh. Then with Fields, it was just a football decision that they made. Everyone loved him. The coaching staff loved him. Teammates loved him. Players loved him. They were winning with him. It was just they felt like Russell Wilson was a better quarterback at that point in time. But if the Steelers are ready to commit significant money financially to Fields, and Fields looks at this, I mean, I think he views the Steelers as a situation that's better for him than maybe what the Jets situation would be. But if Fields does shake free and he gets away from Pittsburgh, that is the guy that, from my understanding, the Jets really, really want. They are high on Justin Fields. They would like to have Justin Fields in here. I think he is their top priority at quarterback. I do believe that. And then if that what does not happen, if, say, if Fields ends up going to the Steelers, I think that's when you would see the Jets pivot, and they'll target another second-tier veteran quarterback with Tyrod Taylor, and then look for somebody in the draft as well. I mean, I heard Marcus Mariota tied to them. I heard Carson Wentz tied to them. Basically have the
Jameis Winston.
Here.
Bring Jameis Winston here.
Yeah, right. Hell, I'd love that, man. I'd love those quotes. I'm a big Jameis fan, just from a media point of view. Yeah, but and then you'll target somebody probably in the second round of the draft, not there at 7, and I think that would be what they'd be looking to do.
How do you feel about Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugee? I have said this. I'm not a Jets fan, but I'm a football fan, and I've watched the Jets, you know, struggle and Jets fans suffer, and I feel like Jets fans are hurt. They are jaded. They are traumatized. They have PTSD where they don't even want to believe that these guys could be making the right moves, that last year could be the last year that they don't make the playoffs. Like, they don't even want to give them the shot to, like, build their own roster, build their own team, and potentially have success. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, they're walking into a buzzsaw. How do you not bring Aaron Rodgers back? What the hell are they doing? But I'm like, I look at their demeanor and their resume and what has been said by others about them around the league. I'm like, these guys are all business, and they're getting to the business. And I don't know if it's going to necessarily turn into wins in year one, but it doesn't have to be wins year one. It's a culture change. It takes some time. It could take a couple years, but I do think they're the right guys for the job.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to be completely and totally transparent with you here, Keith. So I started covering the Jets in 2014. So I got the tail end of Rex and John Idzik. Then I got Mike Maccagnan, Todd Bowles. I got Mike Maccagnan, Adam Gase. I got Joe Douglas, Adam Gase. I got Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh. And now I'm on to Mugee and Aaron Glenn. I've gotten to know Mugee a little bit over the last month or so, just from seeing him at the combine and talking to him and things like that. And I think he's a very, very respected person. You talk to people who know him, agents, scouts, personnel people, coaches, people who've known him from Denver, just around the league that have negotiated with him and things like that. Everyone has the utmost respect for him. Everyone speaks so glowingly of him. Aaron Glenn, little bit more jaded, but that's just who he is. He's a Bill Parcells disciple, so he kind of has a little bit of Parcells in him. With that said, I'm done completely and totally 100% trying to figure out who's going to be good and who's not going to be good. And I'm just being honest with you, man. Like, I think where I was just kind of threw my hands up and I'm like, I'm just waiting to see them win games. When they win games and they feel the team that is competing week in and week out and winning 10, 11, 12 games a year and getting into the playoffs and making a run, that's when I'll turn around and be like, Aaron Glenn's a good coach and Darren Mugee is a good general manager. But until then, no one knows. They're first time guys who have never done it before. I mean, Joe Douglas was literally create a GM. He was. He cut his teeth behind Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore. Well, I mean, one of the most stable, well-run organizations in the NFL. Then he went to Chicago briefly, but then the Philadelphia Eagles, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, learned underneath Howie Roseman, one of the most brilliant general managers in the world. He was a player. He was a personnel guy. He was a former Turk with the Ravens, worked his way up, literally the perfect everything you want a general manager, and it didn't work. Adam Gase was the brilliant offensive mind. Todd Bowles was a longtime assistant. Robert Saleh was the hotshot assistant who was brass and looked the part and screamed and yelled and did all that stuff. And none of it's worked with the Jets. I'm done thinking like, oh, this press conference was good. Oh, this guy said a nice thing about him. I hope these guys do well because I really want to cover winning football because then everybody's in a good mood. But I just need to see it on the field. I need to see the Jets win football games. And when I see the Jets win football games, that's when I'll tell you what I think about Muji and Aaron Glenn. Until then, again, I mean that no disrespect to anybody, but until they win games, nobody knows how good these guys are going to be.
I hear you. Fool me.
Yeah.
Fool me.
Yeah.
Fool me. Can't fool me again.
Dude, I'm on fool me six times, dude. It's like fool me six, seven, eight times. I'm done, dude. I'm out.
We're on the phone right now with Connor Hughes, NFL reporter from SNY, covering the Jets and Giants. Last thing for you, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Yep. I feel like now we're a week removed from the combine, so all the smoke screens, all the smoke and mirrors, all the, Cam Ward is the clear-cut number one, and Shedeur is too cocky and brash and, you know, came off like he didn't care. Like, what do you think about the Giants trading up to number one to get Cam? How real is that? And then what do you think about Shedeur potentially falling to the Jets and them maybe taking him?
Yeah, the interesting thing about Shedeur is that I heard the interviews weren't all that great in Indianapolis. And what I mean by that was that the way that it was described to me was that when he interviewed with teams that he felt would or had a chance to legitimately draft him, it was great. It was a great interview. It was engaging. It was everything that we saw behind the podium when he dazzled the media. When he interviewed with teams that he didn't think was going to draft him or didn't think had any chance of drafting him, it was like, why are we wasting our time here? Like, you know, so it was one of those things. It wasn't like I'm going to give everyone the same time of day, which rubs some teams the wrong way. But this guy's going to be so, I don't know if that's normal from other prospects. This guy is so polarizing and you either love him or you hate him. And that's why you have some people that are saying, hell yeah, I'd take this guy top five. And you have some guys saying, I wouldn't take this dude till the fifth round. Like, it's just, he's a polarizing prospect. With that said, I talked to in Indy and when I got home from Indy, I talked to people from I don't even know how many different teams, probably a dozen, little over a dozen. I did not have one and could not find one that had Shedeur Sanders ranked ahead of Cam Ward. So if the Giants, as most people expect them to do, eventually execute a trade for the number one pick in the draft, whether or not they get Aaron Rodgers, it's the expectation that is for Cam Ward. That is what everyone around the NFL feels. Again, this is not Giants sources that are telling me this. The Giants are keeping their plans close to the vest as they have, but people around the NFL, that is what they are telling me. If the Giants trade up to number one and take Shedeur Sanders, they will truly be zagging when everyone else is zigging, which, okay, that's only a big topic on draft night. If Shedeur turns out to be a stud and Cam Ward's a bust, or even if Cam Ward's great, as long as Shedeur is great as well, it won't matter. Joe Shane will look like a genius, but they will truly be going against how every other team really feels about the rankings of these quarterbacks. As far as the Jets taking Sanders at seven, I think if he's there, that's an intriguing possibility, especially if they go the Tyrod Taylor, Carson Wentz, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, or even just Tyrod Taylor and insert other veteran quarterback here route. If they go that, get Shedeur, let him sit behind these guys for a year, learn, develop a little bit, and then put him in there when he's ready. Basically go the opposite of what they did with Zach Wilson, where they just threw him out and kind of baptism by fire and basically burned Zach Wilson alive those first couple years here with the Jets. I think that would be an interesting prospect. I do, though, to be completely transparent with you, I think the Jets probably go somewhere else other than quarterback at seven, and then they probably try to get a quarterback there in the second round. I just don't think with some of the other prospects that are going to be there. I mean, Shedeur is probably in a normal draft class, a late first round pick. I don't know if the Jets are going to reach for him. I think Warren is probably a better shot there. Graham's a better shot there. Tet McMillan, probably a better shot there as well. All of those players would help the Jets a little bit more than Shedeur would. I just think that's a risky pick at seven.
Yeah, I like Tet McMillan a lot. I hope he falls. Maybe if he falls to the Jets, like I hope he does fall to the Jets because him and Garrett Wilson could be great tandem, and I think you got to absolutely love Shedeur Sanders to take him there, and I don't think the Jets will be in love with him. If they are able to get to Justin Fields and they do feel comfortable with Tyrod Taylor and they could draft a quarterback in the later rounds, the Jets have so many holes, and like addressing wide receiver right there, that's a sexy pick that fires up the fan base, that addresses a need, and I think you move that way.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good call.
Connor, you're the man. I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but I got to ask how your daughter is. Has she arrived at her terrible twos? My son is in his terrible twos early.
Not yet, man. She's 20 months old now, so she's still the cute little toddler, but she is getting an opinion now. So she's getting to the point where when we tell her no, it's the drop to the floor. It's the kind of throw the hands up. We were at the indoor playground today, and she didn't want to leave, and she lets you know now when she doesn't want to do something. Yeah. I'd say that's kind of the development.
Yeah, there's going to be some preferences on food that weren't originally there. Some fight with, hey, we got to go to bed. We got to get in the bath. We got to leave.
Yep.
Yeah, it turns into a little bit of a struggle, but it's all blessing, man. God bless you and your family. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Appreciate you, man. You guys too.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Time flies when you're talking sports and having fun. Keith McPherson on The Fan, taking your calls, bringing in some guests. Doing what I do on a Friday night, KM to AM. Blessed to be here, thankful. to be here. And you know what? We get a little bonus Sunday sauce, a little extra Sunday sauce. I'll have a show from 3:30 to 8 p.m. on Sunday. Still working on some guests, still working on some ideas, some things. You know, Sunday's a little different vibe. Also a day show, right? So looking forward to that, though. Let's get back to the show here in about 25 minutes. I will have Jonathan Davis join us to talk puck and talk trade deadline and everything that went on for the Islanders, the Devils, the Rangers. Shout out to Connor Hughes. You know, Connor, I got to do something with Connor. Maybe we do something at Monmouth University. I don't know if he goes back to Monmouth University, but like for Monmouth University to have produced me and Connor Hughes, like, hello, put it together. They should easily have already had us back on campus to do something, even if they just give us some microphones, have us talk football. Anyway, 888-808-1019. It's wide open right now. I did want to mention something because I have eyes on, you know, the Yankee score. I wasn't watching the Yankee game. But the Yankees, man, they rally back to walk off the Blue Jays 8-7. Most of that game was like 5-4. I think it was like 5-4 when I took the call from Connor. Marcus Stroman goes out there. And Marcus Stroman gives you three innings, two-hit ball. One of those hits and one of the runs was a homer. But, you know, from what I have read and seen, Stroman looked good. And then you're starting to get some guys turning heads, some guys putting bat to ball. Good to see Wells hitting homers. Good to see Bellinger hitting homers. Everson Pereira hit a big homer in the eighth inning. And multiple reporters, Eric Bolin, who I had on earlier this week. I forget which day I had Eric Bolin on. Was it Wednesday, maybe? Eric Bolin tweets out, Everson Pereira, who could be a DH option with Stan on the IL to start the season, hits one out of the stadium to left, his second home run of the spring. Chris Kirschner writes, so I'm like, am I tripping? Are they all kind of hyping him right now? And it's like eighth inning homers. I don't know who it was against. I got to go look. Chris Kirschner writes, the Yankees are short a right-handed bat. Everson Pereira could be an option to make the club out of spring training. And like, no, I'm happy this kid is back. If you remember, in the 2022 season or 2023 season, when the Yankees, you know, was all but lost, what'd they do? They said, bring up the Baby Bombers 2.0, and you got to see Dominguez, you got to see Wells, you got to see Everson Pereira, but then he got hurt and he missed last year, and I'm just like, are we really about to, like, if we're saying, you know, no to Spencer Jones, no to George Lombard, which we should, I guess Ben Rice is more inclined, but like now Everson Pereira, for reporters to be looking at the team and the roster, like the New York Yankees are the defending American League champs. Don't tell me that like Everson Pereira is going to like make a damn move. 888-808-1019. I'm like, all right, people are you know, replying. Cause I quote tweeted the tweet. I'm like, make a move. If we're actually talking about like Everson Pereira is going to break camp. Like, and I'm not trying to knock the young man. And I understand having your own homegrown talent, but like we're trying to compete. You know, when we saw him a couple years ago, he couldn't hit at all. We're talking about his eighth inning spring training homers off of double-A pitchers now, and people are, you know, responding. You know, Ben says, no, not with a self-imposed cap on the payroll. Only Fire Cashman writes, only if you start a GoFundMe for Hal. And then somebody who's at Cashman Burner 25 with Hal Steinbrenner as the name says, you think the Yankees are adding? Dom Smith will be our cleanup hitter by Memorial Day. Yankee fans are hilarious. They trip me out. And I understand where you're coming from because it's like, yeah, if the owner tells you, nope, we don't need to spend any more. If the owner tells you, hey, this is what it is, it is what it is. But like, I don't have to be excited about it. I think you can do better. But there's no more moves to make. I guess at this point, we're 20 days away from opening day. The team is what the team is. And, you know, they'll adjust during the season and a trade deadline. But, like, you know, I took this from listening to Big Matt one night, and I'll give Big Matt credit. He brought up the point that with this expanded postseason, the trade deadline is different. You have more teams that are buyers and you have less teams that are sellers. So there's more competition for these players. And why trade for a guy and only get half a year from him? You know, give up something to get half a year from him. And it's just like, what are they going to, oh, I guess, you know what, in July we'll go get Nolan Arenado. Why not go get him now? All right, let me take a call before we go to the break and hit the update, or should we just go to the break and update now? Yeah, I think we have to break now. We're on the other side of like 56 going 57. All right, so we'll go to the break. We'll go to the update. If you'd like to get a call in, do so now, because at 10:15, my next guest and last guest of the night, Jonathan Davis, will join us to talk NHL trade deadline. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be back after a quick timeout.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.